Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
All right. What is this thing with midlife crisis, Michelle? You know,
I think I have.
Have
it.
You gone through it? Wait a minute. Didn't you just
buy
like some red car?
I'm still going through it.
Wait a minute. Are you hanging out with a 20-year-old and you just bought a red car, convertible? What? I mean, is this what a midlife crisis is about? Well, are you going through one? The best person in the whole world to answer this is Dr. Ann Kearney Cook, who's a psychologist at the Cincinnati Psychotherapy Institute, which was the first of its kind in providing treatment for eating disorders for over 30 years and really understanding everything about men and women, and especially women, when it comes to all these crises in our life. So her book is Change Your Mind, Change Your Body, Feeling Good Again About Body and Self After 40. Dr. Ann Kearney Cook, welcome to Her Radio. And we want to dive right in. What is a midlife crisis?
Well, what happens often anywhere between like 37 and even 65 these days, it's a transition where individuals often begin to feel, regret about their life, the things that didn't work, or the things they wish they didn't do, or the things they wish they did do. Sometimes they begin to kind of act out of character. They might, question their religion, check out different religions, activities that used to be really pleasurable, they're more boring. They might say, I want to, skydive, I want to, travel, I want to go and I want something different. And it's often a time where people feel more trapped in their life and the choices they've made. And often there's some depression associated with it.
Wow. So there's a lot of, and Michelle, you and I have talked about, because of Empower Her and the marvelous work, and of course my work with women and their bodies after the age of 40, really talking about physical changes that are taking place that are, the crow's feet, the saggy arms, the expanding waistline, and all of a sudden you've got all this going on too. And how does that contribute to the midlife crisis?
Well, part of female self-esteem is really how she looks, how attractive she is. And we are in a culture that's youth-obsessed. And so when you start to have some of the physiological changes of midlife, it's difficult. Like you said, the crow's feet, the different changes, they're not changes in the body that are admired or looked up to in our culture. It's not seen as, oh my gosh, you're getting older and you're wiser and you're more worldly. It's more seen as, you're not as pretty, you're not as sexy, you're not as attractive. And, that's really hard on your self-esteem.
Well, it's so interesting that you say that, because a good friend of mine just wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich for Women. And one of the things that she talks about is that women, only 2% of women in America feel beautiful. That's just so scary to me on so many levels. But taking it a step further, when you're going through a midlife crisis, we know you're not feeling beautiful. But can you tell us a little bit about what, how this creeps up on you, and how do you know that you're actually going through a midlife crisis? What are the signs?
Well, again, I think there's just this sense of discontent. And as I was saying earlier, it might be triggered by an illness, by a loss, by a divorce, by even somebody else's success, a sibling who all of a sudden has become CEO of a company. It's really a time of like reassessing your life, where you're at. And for a lot of people, there's some disappointment and discontent, anxiety, and also with the physical changes. Maybe not feeling like, hey, when I walk in the room, no one looks at me. I remember one of my patients just said to me a week ago, she said, I I walked into Music Hall with my daughter, and I walked through, you know, to go get the programs and, you know, go in, and I just saw all the eyes on my daughter, who was an adolescent, and none on me. And it was like this just feeling of what happens, you know, if I'm not, and this is someone who a lot of her life has been, and her role has been based on her beauty, and it's like, if I'm not that, then what am I?
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, let me ask you a question, Anne. Well, Anne, in situations like that, and all kinds of issues related to midlife crisis, what are some general tips you can give our wonderful listeners on her radio for dealing with a midlife crisis?
Well, I mean, first of all, in that last example I just gave, you know, when I talked to my patient, I said, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity to develop other aspects of yourself. One of your signature strengths is your beauty, but you also have other signature strengths that you have an opportunity to develop. Because in midlife, we are saying, I'm not going to be here forever. And so, you know, I encourage people to really write a story about their life and where they've been, and really say, I'm going to be the writer of the next chapter of my life. I'm going to write it. I'm not just going to be a character that's playing a role that I'm dictated to play, but I'm going to write this next chapter. I also think it's really important to try to live in a mindful way. You know, we're in a culture that says the more you do, the more you're going to get out of life. And people are running around and doing a lot, but they're not necessarily saying they're getting more out of life. They're saying they're exhausted,
tired,
they feel empty. And so encouraging people to, you know, when you're talking to someone, put a spotlight on that conversation. Really listen, be empathetic, be curious, so that when you leave, you feel richer from that. So it's not like, oh my gosh, I have to have so many experiences before I die. It's more, how can I live in a mindful way and really take in the closeness with another person, take in this hike and the beautiful mountain? So I think that's another important thing to do, to slow down and really take in everything.
Yeah, that's like stopping to smell the roses, right? That's one thing that we don't do. But I also know that this second stage of life is like the most exciting stage for me at 54 years old. I mean, I feel my best I've ever felt. And, you know, maybe I'm not turning heads when I walk in the room anymore, but I don't really care. You kind of get this sense of freedom. And I love that sense of freedom that I have. Like, I can speak my mind now. And I don't really care if you like it or not.
You know, I feel the same way, Michelle. I feel the same way. And you and I have talked about this in the past as well. And that is that, you know, you reach this place where you have enough experience and you have enough of a sense of self where you say, you know something, I just feel plain good about myself. And there you are. People I find who don't feel that way oftentimes rush out and do desperate things, you know, tons of plastic surgery.
Like surgery.
Yeah, exactly. And they go kind of external instead of, you know, having a strong internal core. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I love the words both of you are using, like a sense of freedom.
Well, the freedom that we're talking about, Anne, is something that I know you talk about a lot in your book, Change Your Mind, Change Your Body. Feeling good again about body and self after 40. And your website is drannekernycook.com. We are so happy that you joined us on her radio to describe, well, quite frankly, what a midlife crisis is. Thank you. I'm Dr. Pam Peake, along with Michelle King-Robeson.
If you're going through a midlife crisis, you need to get Dr. Anne Kearney Cook's book. You're listening to her radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Stay well.